What's up, Zach Oates here, author, entrepreneur, and customer relationship guru. Welcome to Give an Ovation, growth strategies for restaurants and retailers, where we find industry leaders to share their secrets to grow your business. This podcast is sponsored by Ovation, the actionable guest feedback tool that works on or off premise and is easy, real time, and actually drives revenue. Learn more at ovationup.com. Welcome to another edition of Give an Ovation. I am joined today by someone who has experienced the guest experience and the marketing power of guest experience on land, air, and sea, experience with Continental Airlines, U.S. Airways, Intercontinental Hotels, Darden. He is now the Senior Director of Digital Loyalty and Payments at PDQ. Welcome to Give an Ovation, Ken Bott. How are you, man?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Zach.
Absolutely. I've loved diving into your bio and your experience. And first of all, before we jump into that, I'd love, what does a senior director of digital loyalty and payments do?
A little bit of everything, Zach. You know, smaller organization now that I'm at, but it's a jack of all trades, master of none. So it's managing, you know, the digital ecosystem that we put out there and the environment for guests to interact with. So think of it, you know, that passive marketing, you know, and then the more proactive aspect of it by managing the communications with our loyalty members, cultivating visits and spend and getting people to be introduced to new products. And then on the back end of it as well is trying to remove friction, you know, by, you know, mobile payment, ordering online, pre-ordering, things like that. In addition to the other hat that I wear is like my team also manages guest relations. So we get that full kind of life cycle of interaction with a guest, which I think is extremely valuable at kind of level setting and helping you understand what you could do better on the front end of things, right? Knowing what people's perceptions and expectations, if they were met on the back end. So for me, I feel lucky that I get to see that full circle, you know, and can be able to hopefully market to guests more efficiently, effectively, in a relevant way that you know, gets them to be delighted, right? Because PDQ stands for people dedicated to quality. And so the ethos of our brand is to provide a quality experience in the food, the hospitality, and the environment for our guests to enjoy. And so I feel very blessed that I get to actually take part in a little or all of that.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful because it's so often that in the restaurant industry, things are siloed in kind of a weird way at corporate. But if you think about this string of the guest experience from like, how do you find out? How do you pay? What's your post-experience visit like? It's all the same, right? It's all the same guest experience. And if you follow that guest and that common thread through it, you could get much more powerful insights and not have to try to convince one group about the importance of one portion of the guest experience as opposed to the other. And if you go back, Ken, if you rewind with me, it's February of 2010. You're a young buck making your first appearance into the restaurant space with Bloomin' Brands. You just moved to Tampa. You're sitting down with that Ken, the 2010 Ken, get into restaurants. What advice would you have for him, knowing what you know now? What do you wish that he knew?
Well, you
besides
know,
the fact that he should invest in Tesla.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. You know, I think the interesting thing is, coming into the restaurant industry is how much of a dogfight it is. It is a very competitive space, right? Everybody is fighting for share of stomach, right? And you're trying to understand what need set or use case that you're trying to appeal to, right? Because if you don't know what the guests want and you don't know as much as you need to know about the guest journey, how are you going to, you know, get in front of the right guests at the right time with the right message, right? The right value proposition. So understanding how complex and competitive it is probably one of the elements that I would tell my younger self, hey, man, get ready for a throwdown because everyone is fighting for a share of stomach. And in fairness to guests, they're fickle, right? And I don't mean in a disparaging way. It's just that some days I feel like chicken. Some days I feel like a burger. Some days I feel like pizza, right? And so being able to get inside people's heads, I fortunately, from a previous experience before getting into the restaurant industry, kind of got educated a little bit more about that. You know, why do people stay in a hotel? Why do they fly on an airline? Where do they go? You know, how long do they stay? You know, are they there on business? Are they there for pleasure? You know, do they have their family with them? Do they not? You know, are they entertaining clients? So some of those learnings helped at least bridge that gap into the restaurant industry. But I think the biggest thing is how competitive it is for that share of stomach.
And the thing about the restaurant consumer, because, you know, I got my start in advertising New York City. And the thing about restaurants, it's different than any other industry, is loyalty means something very different here. If loyalty in the restaurant industry meant the same thing as loyalty in a marriage, I think America would be in a much worse spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
The restaurant consumer is the most promiscuous consumer that there is. And to your point, it's because you have to eat three times a day. And there's so many options and the switching costs are so low and your desire for variety is so enhanced because it's so easy. And whereas like with Delta, with airlines, with hotels, you can get your hooks in a little bit more because it's not quite as transactional. It's not quite as cheap. You don't do it quite as often. And so people are willing to pay a little bit of a premium to stick with Delta in my case, right? And, yep. Nothing against United, a lot against American. But I think that there's something to be said for that. And we need to rethink. I know we use the same word of loyalty, but it means something different. And in my opinion, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. In my opinion, in the restaurant industry, the most important thing is not having the most complex loyalty system. It's not having, you know, the most rewards that you're giving them. To me, what it's about is it's about making it frictionless for that guest to dine with you, no matter how they want. Yep. And number two, it's about building a connection with that guest and helping them feel important. And to me, those are the two things that we can do. And it's hand-to-hand combat. But I mean, what do you think, Ken? Do you agree, disagree?
No, I agree. I agree 100%. I think that the emotional aspect of it is really huge. And honestly, right now, I think it's even more so. And when I say emotional, I'm also kind of characterizing what people's expectations of the relationship are,
yes,
right?
So that's a great point.
You know, value, price, convenience, right, for our industry is really important, but expectations have just grown, right? They were in that value equation, expectations based on, you know, the societal changes, the economic changes, you know, people's need set changes. I mean, environmentally, it's freaking hot out right now. You know, so
is it? I didn't notice. I just flew in from Vegas late last night. Didn't notice it was 107.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of those variables have changed over time, right? And so also being in touch with what's going on and being respectful of that relationship, of that emotional connection with guests, to be able to have those conversations and recognize that, hey, they may like a milkshake today because it's 110 with the heat index, right? So having that kind of connection with guests, I think, is spot on. And I think part of it that is the reciprocity of it. I'm a big believer that loyalty is something that guests give us. It's not something that I provide for them. I provide a delightful experience with quality food, with exceptional, you know, customer service in an environment where they feel welcome and comfortable, right? regardless of who they're with. So, and then because I delivered on that package of what the expectations were, then they give me loyalty. And, you know, you could probably dovetail advocacy into it as well, because if they had a good experience and they felt like it was worthy of telling people, right, it's that, you know, why should I care and why should I share? Well, it's because your expectations were met, you know, across those kind of service points that I kind of talked about before. And that, to me, engenders loyalty. If they come to you again, that's because the previous experience was delightful, right? And they felt like there was a good value proposition and their expectations were met. And then you communicated to them in a one-to-one fashion, right? With personalized communications, you were transparent with what you were offering. You offered them flexibility of how to get it and when to get it. Those are all things, right, to your point, removing friction, right? Just simple things like being able to tap and pay with Apple Pay or use Apple Pay when they're checking out, you know, online ordering. Those are all the things that I think now are almost like table stakes, right?
Yeah.
And so the service aspect of it, the hospitality of the one-to-one communication and building that relationship is where, you know, the brands that are succeeding right now are actually, you know, succeeding.
Yeah. And that's the thing is you cannot rely on just spray and pray anymore. You have to be able to know Ken. And your GM ideally can know Ken. And if your GM doesn't know Ken, and this is the whole reason why Ovation has been blowing up, is because we allow that GM to have that one-to-one dialogue with the guest. And even if, you know, especially when like something gets messed up with Ken's order, if Zach, the GM, can text Ken and say, Ken, I am so sorry. You know, here's a free meal on me. And, you know, I've refunded your order. I feel terrible that we missed your fries. I know you know, and especially how much you were looking forward to them, right? Like then all of a sudden that's a personal connection and people are a lot more willing to both spend money with you and spend more money when you're able to give them a personal connection and help them feel like they're heard and seen. And so all of this is boiling down, Ken, to the guest experience, right? That's what we're all trying to do in the restaurant industry is create a great guest experience. And so what do you think is the most important aspect of guest experience nowadays?
I would agree. It's that one-to-one kind of connection, right? The relevance of messaging, the timeliness of it, the ability to recover gracefully, right? To your point. Yeah. People are forgiving of your brand. If they like it, they'll forgive you, especially if you go the extra mile to reach out to them, you know, fast and efficiently and over the top. You know, that's part of our people dedicated quality. It's like, how would I want to be treated? Well, I'd want someone to say, hey, if you didn't like it, it's on me. And then here's, you know, an opportunity for me to have you come back again so you can experience it the way that it's going, you know, 99% of the time. So, because, you know, we don't know what people have going on in their day. They may have, you know, couldn't get their car started. Their kids, you know, woke them up early, right?
I wonder who we might be talking about.
All of those things, right? Everybody's got their own, you know, backpack of stuff that they're carrying for the day. So if I'm not meeting their expectations, it doesn't really matter to me, because I should be trying to exceed their expectations, right? And that's part of, I think, the guest experience, is that you either do it with the product, the service, emotionally, you know, or digitally, right? Trying to make sure that you exceed their expectations at every touch point, I think is kind of what the guest experience is these days. So tapping into targeted messaging on a one-to-one basis is key, right? The relevance of the product. I mean, we're pushing, you know, communications out to our guests based on what they've ordered in the past. So I know that they're a chicken tender orderer. I'm going to put images of chicken tenders in the images that I send to them because I know they like that, versus a sandwich person or versus a salad and a kid's meal person. So that relevance, it really kind of, even though it's not like overt, big brotherish, but still kind of at that level where it's, you know, subliminal in the sense that the guest goes, wow, they telling me about the tender offer that they have. And because they know I like tenders, right? You know, so just trying to be relevant and, you know, figuring out what that guest journey looks like for those people. So your need set on our menu changes from lunch to dinner. So why not position, hey, Zach, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm sending you a communication. How about a family meal? Make your life easier tonight on the way back from work. Feed your family, right? Because you know that there's going to be no veto vote on chicken tenders for kids. But you can still get, you know, something healthy for yourself or, you know, splurge and, you know, get the chocolate peanut butter milkshake.
I love that. And I think all of this is, I love these thoughts of this strategy. I'd love to also dig into a couple of successful tactics, maybe one or two tactics that you've seen lately to improve the guest experience.
Yeah. I think the most notable, which is probably more on the spectrums of like being new in the customer life cycle and being maybe a little bit more tenured in the customer life cycle, is taking advantage of new technology like AI, right? We have a one-to-one nurturing flow to onboard people into the relationship. Most all of that's done digitally, but we do have cues that we help our operating directors out with to let them know that, hey, this is Zach's third visit, right? So just being kind of using technology where it makes sense to build on and amplify the brand experience, I think is probably one of the easy things to key off of. And that happens for us in the beginning stages of the relationship and haven't seen you in a while, right? Recognizing that you broke the habit of, you know, visiting, you know, why, you know, and trying to, you know, find out why. Was there a service failure or, you know, something of that nature? Or was it just that it wasn't convenient for you because, you know, your travel habits changed? So understanding the whys behind, not to steal too much from Simon Sinek, but, you know, it's the why and everything really does drive a lot for us. And the other thing that we've had successful tactically is really allowing more choices, right? Flexibility of rewards, flexibility in the experience, flexibility about how we're addressing the issues that we've had, and getting back to the guests so there's closure, right? That's kind of big. So providing choices, because everyone wants choices, even if they turn them down, right? They still want to feel like they had a choice. So offering that flexibility and the engagement and the relationship with the guest has been really successful. So we can meet them where they are, when they want it, how they want it.
I think that's so great because, again, this is really all centered around the guest. And if you start with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey talks about, and you start, what does the guest want, need, when, and then build from that, you're going to create the right mix of food service impression and then layer on top of that, as you were talking about, consistency, because it's so important that we do the right things consistently. Because if, you know, there are other chicken brands out there that I go and every other time I go, the thing I want is 86th. And sometimes I go and the chicken is Woody. And sometimes I go and the service is really bad. Excuse me. Most of the time I go, the service is really bad, right? And so what do? I stop going, you know? And I think that's what's really important is how do you really put those barriers in place to funnel that guest to that strike zone every time? Now, who do you think deserves an ovation? Who's someone that we should be following?
You know, there's a lot of smart people out there that have a lot of great experiences. I think the ones that I admire the most are the brands that know themselves, right? And their simple menus, simple service offering, but it is repeatable, right? And it's consistent, right? So first and foremost, it's casual dining, but like Texas Roadhouse, you know exactly what you're going to get there. you know exactly the service experience. And if you're going there, you feel comfortable. You feel at home. They make you feel at home. I think, honestly, another brand, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying it, but that knows themselves and does a great job punching above their weight is like Raising Cane's. Very simple menu, has not changed at all, right? There's really not really any innovation there. But you know what? They know exactly where they're at, and they hit a home run pretty consistently. And then their ethos is, you know, is grounded in, you know, being part of the community. And they do a great job of that, right? I mean, we do, I think, just as good of a job, if not better, in some markets. But every time they go into a marketplace, they move into it like they already belong there, and then they exemplify it by their actions. I think the one last brand that I would talk about that I think, again, owns their own space and has done a great job is like Shake Shack. You know, they kill it with their burgers. They kill it with the consistency. Obviously, the advocacy is there. You know, there's a lot of people that get the same delivery of the same product every time they go. So, but they've differentiated themselves, right, within their category of burgers, right? So they are just a little bit better, right? Better, perhaps, at least from my perception of, you know, some of the other people in the burger space.
Awesome. Well, Ken, I really appreciate you joining us today. Follow Ken on LinkedIn, Ken Bott with 2 T's. Check out PDQ. And for helping us commit to connect with our guests, today's ovation goes to you. Thank you for joining us on Giving Ovation, Ken.
Yep. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate the time. Enjoy what you do every day.
Thank you.
Good luck with those kids.
Oh, yeah, I need it. Glad you're with us today, and thank you. Thank you to the risk takers, the troublemakers, the crazies who are keeping this world clothed and fed. You're the ones who deserve an ovation. Again, this podcast was sponsored by Ovation. To see how we can help you grow your business, go to ovationup.com. Don't forget to subscribe, and as always, remember to give someone in your life an ovation today.